Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us, Father, the truth of this, your word, to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, so, Father, that we can gain in knowledge and wisdom, the knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it, Father, in the way that it is supposed to be used. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. Once again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Going to be in the third chapter here of Philippians. Give you a minute to get there. Okay. Here in verse 1. It says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. And you know that word, finally. That's a transitional word. And what he's trying to do is let them know that in addition, to his writing, he's also kind of changing what he had to say. He's not changing the meanings or nothing that way. That's not what I'm talking about. But he's going to be changing over to talk to them about Timothy and him sending him and different things that way. You know, and of different things. Now, in verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now that verse 2, there's quite a bit in it, and especially when you get into 2 and 3 both. Because you see, Paul's warning them here in 2 about dogs. We see that is those that have been following him and those that are teaching that they have to be circumcised. Well, they really are Judaizers. And a Judaizer were Jews who professed to be Christians, but they preached that unless one is circumcised according to the custom of Moses, one cannot be saved. Well, you see, we all know that's not true. Now, Paul is letting them know, because even in that day and time, the Judaizers were called dogs. Because they were one of the chief dangers to the early church. And you see, to the Eastern mind, the animal, that dog, was the most despised and shameless, miserable creature going, because he was a scavenger, roaming the streets and feeding on refuge. And we know that the apostles refused to call the Judaizers the circumcision. And they weren't liked by too many, because they were neither going under the law, nor were they walking as true Christians or true believers in Jesus. They had their own thing going. We got a lot of that going on today. Here in verse 4. He says, for I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he has, well, he might trust in the flesh. He says, I more. Now, Paul, what he's doing here, as he is opening up his past, in other words, he's drawing back a curtain on it and letting them see his Jewish life and what it was like and how he walked in it. Because he goes on in 5 and he says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. You see, he's letting them really know. And so, he's letting them know that he does. And he's letting them know this for two reasons. One is to prevent his adversaries from alleging that his refusal to trust in religious credentials and accomplishments is due to his lack of them. those who were following him, this is what they were trying to proclaim, you know, that he wasn't teaching that because he didn't have any of it. He had it all. He'd been circumcised the whole bit in his lifetime. But and then the second reason he's wanting to let them know actually was to go against what the Judaizer doctrine and of there being any saving value in such human achievements. Let them know there's nothing to it, to what they're telling you. Now, as we go on, here in verse 5 and 6, verse 5, we read that he laid them know circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. You see, he had been circumcised because he was a Jew and had lived under the law. And he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Now, we also know that here in verse 6, concerning zeal, in other words, did he really work for his belief? Well, he did. Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. You see, Paul lists 7 of his religious credentials on which he dares not to rely for salvation. 1, he was circumcised on the 8th day. In other words, he was 8 days old. And he begins with the ritual that was central in the Judaizers' teaching. And unlike the Ishmaelites, who was circumcised after his 13th year, and the proselytes, who were circumcised in adulthood. You see, Paul had the rite performed on him by his parents in accord with the letter of the law, which was when he was 8 days old. And then, you know, he's letting them know of the stock of Israel. He's letting them know that he was from the nation of Israel. Because, you see, Israel was actually the covenant name of God's ancient people. The Israelites descent from Abraham was shared with the Ishmaelites. You see, this is all things that was in Paul's past. And he told them he was of the tribe of Benjamin, which actually was showing that he was a member of one of the 2 most prestigious of the 12 tribes. And he told them also there that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews means that he was a true-blooded Jew coming from a pure line of Jews, tainted with no Gentile mixture, and his ancestors had to some degree retained the Hebrew language and customs. Now, then he also shared with them as touching the law. Paul let them know how and what he belonged to, that he was a Pharisee, which in that day and time was the most orthodox defender, observer, and expounder of the Old Testament, and he was a former student of their great teacher, Gamaliel. But he's sharing all this with them because he's wanting them to know. Paul's not covering up nothing. Then he talks to them about persecuting the church. And we know all about that from the study of God's Word. He refers to that as being so zealous for the Jews' religion that he once persecuted Jesus' followers to stamp out Christianity. And he goes on in touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. And Paul is saying, actually there, concerning righteousness which is in accord with the law, he said, I was blameless. That's what he's letting you and I know in those verses. You see, he, in his persecuting those that were following Jesus, Paul really thought he was doing God's work because they was not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were sticking with the law that God had gave Moses. But you see, there come a time, though, Paul met the Lord Jesus and how his life changed, which is exactly what should happen with you and I. But it won't if we don't become believers in him. Because, you see, it's that going to him, that repenting of our sins, putting our trust in him and our faith in him, and going through him to the Heavenly Father, and having fulfilled that plan of salvation to become that born-again child of the living God. But it all happens through Jesus. And he's sitting on the right hand of God right now, up there for you and I, testifying for us. Now, here in verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. All those things that he'd been naming, he said, I've counted them all loss for Christ. He's gave all of it away, left it behind, because he now belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really belong to Jesus? Or are you one that is just actually proclaiming to be a child of God? You go to church when the doors are open, sit in the pew. You sit there until the service is over. You get up and you leave. There's no difference in your living. You do nothing for the church, nor for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's not being a child of the living God. And that's not going to get you into heaven. I don't care what anybody tells you, what man stands behind that podium telling you that that'll get you to heaven. No, it won't. Now, 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Put everything, everything has to be put back. And you need to put the Lord first in your life. He and Almighty God is to be first in your life. They are not going to take second place. No. And third place and fourth place, like what a lot of us are trying to do. We make every excuse we can make to keep from doing the things that we should do. 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We accept salvation by faith. And the righteousness that is given to us by God is accepted by faith. You see, we walk in faith in knowing who God is, knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and in the knowledge and faith of knowing that we need to walk according to this word and not things that are contrary to it, the way some have made it. So it would say what they wanted to say instead of what God was telling you to do or not to do. And there's a lot of that going on. I heard some of it yesterday. Now, 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That's a lot to take in right there. That I and you, as the scripture says, may know him, but also we must know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You know, you and I, we are to personally know him. And we then also will experience his resurrection power, and we also share in that suffering, and we do conform unto his death, because as we are baptized, we put on his death and his burial and his resurrection. So you see, his word is letting you and I know the truth of how we are to walk. Because you see, in doing that, that we can obtain that personal relationship with Jesus in actual day-to-day experience. And the knowledge of Christ that is obtained by experiencing in our daily problems and in our needs and our ministry and so forth in life. You know, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that knowing Christ also entails participating in his suffering. And Paul, his desires to share in the Lord's suffering because they bring him to a deeper and more meaningful relationship with him. And that's exactly what you and I need. When we participate in Christ's suffering, we have go through and being like him in death, the word death actually here has a double meaning. It includes that inward and the outward, the ethical and the physical. And it also means that spiritual death, which separates you and I from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God Almighty. That evil that pulls us away and separates us. You see, that means death to us too. Unless we will go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins. Now, 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Then you see, we do when we are baptized, because as we come up from the water, we are raised in his resurrection. And that's also in the Word of God. You find that in the 6th chapter of Romans. Now, verse 12. Not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Just because we have reached that stage of completion in Christ, don't allow you and I to let up and walk different. No. We are to continue to walk stronger, straighter, and more involved than what we are. Think about it. Now, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And you know that is exactly what we all have to be doing. Always reaching for things that are yet higher and in front of us. Looking for more and more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Paul tells us here in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You see this verse back here, a few verses back in 12. Paul says, not now he's saying, though, not as though I had. And they use that and they take it out by itself a lot of places to let you know you can't be perfect. But you see, that's not so. Right here in verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let us, who? Us. Therefore, as many as be perfect. Paul, where'd they come from? You see, he's talking to all of us. Now, but just because you have reached that completion in Christ, he says, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, we've already attained that point now, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, let us always be reaching for more and for a higher calling of God. You see, we can't walk in pride and with a swelled head. We are to walk just as others are walking. Always in the Spirit, in righteousness. and our lives being the life of the Lord. Now, 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Paul says, walk, follow me as an example. And that's the way your life should be lived. If you're going to make heaven your home, that's the way it better be lived. You better be a living example for someone else to follow. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. We know that. The world is full of evil out here and against you and I. Now, 19. He goes on here to tell about their end. 19. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? What a verse. But how many does this verse call? Exactly. Living the way it's talking. 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Think about it. He's the only one that can change you. It has to be through him. That faith and trust has to be in him. Because you see, everything we give is to be given through him. Everything we receive through him. We need to know all about the Heavenly Father. We need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to know about the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. In order to be able to walk as his child and have the understanding of their working and how things work with, for us, how it's given, how we give, and how we receive. And we have come to the end of chapter 3, and we will be stopping there for this morning. And we will go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we close your word. We thank you for your word, Father. Pardon me a moment, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you to the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, be with us through this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And Father, we give you thanks for everything that we have, because we know, Father, that it all comes from you. A lot of people don't believe that, Father. Oh, I worked and I made it. Yes, but that you want, who made it? God gave somebody the knowledge and the will to make it. He gave you the means to be able to receive it. So you see, he owns it all. And he makes the way for us to have everything we have. Now, Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, for this land of ours, so evil, brought so much evil upon its people, I pray, Father, that our churches can come together and stand in unity and bring about a repentance of this nation so we can be healed, and that our government can be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, keep us now through this day. Bring us together this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. And I ask all of this, Father, in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Have a good day. Walk with God. He'll walk with you.